Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle here with me. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, Blee Blue and White, Drake Blue and Light. It's another Penn State game week coming off a big win on the road over Iowa. 6-0 now for Penn State. They're number 7 in the coaches poll, number 7 in the AP poll. It's a top 10 team, firmly in the top 10 now with a big matchup coming. We're kicking off the show as we usually do, looking at stock up, stock down coming out of that Iowa game, looking ahead to the whiteout game against Michigan. College Game Day will be in town. The magnitude of that game will be huge. James Franklin is looking to pack Beaver Stadium with, I think he asked after Iowa, for 112,000. We'll see. If you count all the fans who stay in the parking lots and just tailgate through the game, I think he's probably going to get his 112. We'll do Ask Greg, where your Penn State football and recruiting questions are answered by our own Greg Pickle here. And then Greg will share his 5 best bets in a segment that we are cleverly calling Best Bets. For college football this weekend will include Penn State and that crowd, plus 4 other big games that Greg has some strong feelings about, or he's going to manufacture strong feelings. Either way, so let's look back one more time. Penn State Iowa, 17-12. Didn't fire on all cylinders. Penn State didn't. Iowa had its issues, but Penn State's defense came to play. They strung together. They did just enough to win the game. Noah Kane stood out once again. They had to work through some things offensively, but the bottom line, Greg, is that they're 6-0. And let's look at, you know, stock report from this game. Who jumps off the page as your big stock up guy or your big stock up theme?
Yeah, I mean, there could be any number of ways to kick things off here, but I will start with stock up to Blake Gillikin, named a Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week for his performance at Iowa. The Hawkeyes' average starting field position was either their own 16 or their own 18. I can't remember which. Either way, it's really bad. You're not going to win too many football games starting there.
Especially games like this one.
Right. I mean, it's not the way it works. It's not the way that you can function on offense, especially not that offense. It's not really capable of putting together long drives. So he's had some inconsistent performances over the last few years, but this was by far maybe his best, if not one of the best for sure.
A lot of big-time punts. So I think he had 7 punts in all. 5 downed inside the 20. And when you talk about that field position, I believe it was the 18. Either way, if your average starting field position is inside your own 20, you're losing the position, the field position battle. And in a game like this where neither team is getting up and down the field, the field position battle is meaningful. Very meaningful. So Penn State won that, and a big thanks to Blake Gillikin for doing that. Obviously, Jordan Stout on kickoffs and all that. But big game, you know, one of his better games, I think. It's hard to really put Blake Gillikin's resume under a microscope and talk about, you know, the highlights of his career. But this was definitely one of them. This was a big-time performance from him. Big-time performance, speaking of, Robert Windsor on the interior of that Penn State defensive line was unblockable for these guys. Iowa has some issues in the middle of their defense, but Robert Windsor was a force of nature. His motor is pretty incredible. You know, I was explaining to somebody just my thoughts and feelings on defensive tackles and what separates, you know, the good ones from the great ones, and the ones who get drafted and the ones who don't. You know, the ones who get drafted are the guys who can occupy space and be powerful in the run game and right, occupy multiple blocks, but who can also, you know, penetrate and make plays in the backfield. Robert Windsor has those qualities about him. I think he's big enough and strong enough to hold the point of attack, and we saw in this game that he can he's fast enough to penetrate. I think, you know, Todd Blackledge said on the ABC broadcast Saturday night that Robert Windsor made himself some money, and maybe he did. You don't change your stripes. Like he's shown exactly, you know, what we knew him to be. It's a guy who had 7.5 sacks last year, so this isn't really anything new. But 2.5 tackles for loss, a sack and a half, two quarterback hurries, including one that forced a big interception from Nate Stanley late. This was a I'll use the phrase breakout because we just haven't seen this from Robert Windsor yet this year. And if we are going to see that consistently, it changes the whole complexion of this Penn State defense.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he got the shout out from Gil Brandt this offseason as one of the better returning defensive tackles in the country, and he's played like it. I think it's easy to overlook Robert Windsor at times because he's not speedy like Jason Awe or Ito Gross-Matos. You know, he's not flashy like some of the other Penn State defenders, or he's not going to do things that, you know, that wow you in the moment. But he is a darn solid player, and when he gets somebody, man, he dumps them. I mean, he is just he is a guy who does not waste any time getting to the point of attack and doing what he's supposed to do. So, yeah, very nice game for him. I thought the other stock up, well, the many of them, but stock up on the defense was Lamont Wade. I thought he played a really nice game. I thought the safeties played a really nice game. Jaquan Brisker gets his first interception. You know, that group, you know, if Penn State was going to lose this game, that group had to struggle a bit and allow Nate Stanley to move the ball, and they never really did. They never really got to the point of letting him do what he wanted to do. I know they gave up the late touchdown, but beyond that, it was almost a picture-perfect performance from Brent Pry's group.
Yeah, and there have been several of these. You know, I think this is a group. This was a game where Penn State won with defense and field position, and it's something that we thought this Penn State defense was capable of doing, capable of winning games, capable of being the backbone, the real strength of this Penn State team. And I think that's exactly how things have played out, even these games where Penn State's offense finds its stride and puts up points. This defense has proven in a number of different scenarios that they are the real deal. Obviously, you got, you know, some different challenges ahead. Specifically, you know, nobody really challenges like Ohio State can in the Big Ten. Even some of the Big Ten's better teams are not, you know, explosive offenses per se. But this Penn State defense came to play again against Iowa. The running game, I really thought, deserves a big tip of the cap, a big stock up, just across the board. You know, they committed to it. It was something that they needed to do the way this Iowa defense was playing them. And I think Noah Cain in particular, you know, going 22 for 102, doing what he's been doing in the fourth quarter once again, you know, locking games up. It's something that we've seen Penn State struggle in that late 4-minute, 2-minute offense situation where they're sitting on a lead. Everybody knows they're going to run. Sometimes I think the coaches have overthought that. Sometimes they haven't executed in that situation. I think they got a real ace in the hole now with Noah Cain that if they're in this situation again, which they probably will be, they have a real shot at putting games on ice. And I put a lot of that on Noah Cain and an offensive line that just seems to block better for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Stuck up to the way those guys played as well. You know, moving on to, you know, it started with the special teams with Blake Gilligan. But one thing that's underrated, and it played out this way again on Saturday, is the fact that when Jordan Stout does not kick touchbacks, the coverage team has been really good. I think they allowed one return in that game that was like of 20 yards or so. It was a decent return. But for the most part, you know, for not getting a chance to actually do it in real time in a game because Jordan Stout kicked so many touchbacks. Now, Joe Lorick has his guys where they need to be for the execution of kickoff coverage, and that kept Iowa pinned in. We talked about Blake Gilkin and all he did, but more importantly, the kick coverage team kept them pinned in, too, the few times Penn State scored. So I thought those guys had a nice game, and I thought that on the offensive side of the ball, the running back pass blocking is probably about as good as it's ever been. That's not saying Saquon Barkley didn't block well, because he did, but just collectively, all the guys that get on the field are seem to be really good blockers, and more importantly than that, they're willing to just stick their nose in there, and even if they don't execute a fundamentally sound block, they're good at just getting in the way, and sometimes that can be just as good as anything else. So stock up to those guys for that as well.
The Keystone Kickoff Show. We're looking back one more time. Penn State, Iowa, 17-12. Penn State wins to improve to 6-0. Big road test that they passed. Got a big test coming, which we'll touch on in just a few moments on the show, with Michigan coming to town. How about stock down for this? And I'm going to just kind of lead things off with, Youth on the offense, inexperience on the offense, and how that showed up on the first, two, three drives of this Iowa game. They weren't a factor at all, and it wasn't, play design or anything like that. Sean Clifford was jittery, had some happy feet. You know, he talked during the week about footwork and how important that was, and his feet were very jumpy until he settled in. Had some drops in those early drives that, have been uncharacteristic of the 2019 team, fit very well in with the 2018 team. But I think just that you can't have that happen in big games moving forward. I think that if there's one sort of question mark that you want to nitpick, it's just their ability to keep their heads about them in these high pressure situations, because the pressure is only going to be ratcheted up. This is the number 7 team in the country now. There's big games coming this week, nighttime, primetime, whiteout, game day this weekend, Ohio State down the road. They've got to figure out the big game thing and smooth those nerves out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think we don't often hit on this point but to sort of play off what you just said, the noise is so loud in practice. Our buddy Joe Hermit goes and shoots the photos of the practice every week, and he says the noise is just unbearable at times. But the purpose of that is not to give Joe or James Franklin or anybody else that's there an earache.
It's just a nice side benefit.
Well, yeah, right, yeah.
Not for James Franklin, but to know that the media in attendance is getting a little, you're sticking it to them.
Right, but the whole point is that when you go to a place like Iowa, it's either as loud or louder in practice than what you experience when you get out on the field there. And Sean Clifford after the game was hoarse. I mean, he was clearly yelling all week at practice, clearly yelling a lot during this game. And it's not that he was yelling to do it because he was angry. He was yelling because you have to talk at that decibel to hear anything in a place like Kinnick Stadium. So, yeah, stock up to the preparation there. I really don't have much for stock down. Obviously the way they started the game was not ideal. I guess you could probably put the way they started in there. But other than that, there's not really a ton that jumps out at me. I know we could probably get into the nitty-gritty and do some nitpicking. John O'Neill, obviously, stock down. Big, Big Ten replay officiating process, stock down.
I think we buried the lead on this. We should have started stock down on the officiating crew right out of the jump.
Yeah, Bill Carollo not talking to anybody about the call, stock down. But in Penn State specifically, there's not a lot that jumps out to me.
There's something to be said about winning ugly. I think Major League Baseball managers love when you score 8 runs on 5 hits. That's what Penn State did in this game. They scored enough. They did enough to win, and they did it ugly without their best effort. And there's some serious benefits I think that they'll feel from that down the road. We'll see if they feel it this weekend. Michigan coming to town for whiteout college game day. We're going to look ahead to that matchup in just a moment.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.